Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aavas Financiers Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, and thank you for participating on the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for Q4 and FY21. With me, I have Mr. Ghanshyam Rawat, CFO, and Himanshu Agarwal, Investor Relations Officer, SGA team, or IR advisors. The results and the presentations are available on the stock exchanges as well as our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. I am happy to inform you that despite a very tough year, we continue to grow consistently and registered AUM growth of 21% year-on-year as of March 2021. We had a strong quarter in terms of business and disbursement. We disbursed rupees 10,127 million in Q4 FY21, registering a 17% year-on-year growth and 30% quarter-on-quarter growth. In line with our expectation, one-day past due also showed continuous improvement during the quarter and stood at 6.37% as of March 2021, against 8.21% as of December 2020. Profit after tax for FY21 increased by 17% on year-on-year basis as per Ind AS accounting and registered 34% year-on-year growth as per IGAAP accounting. Continuing with our belief of being transparent to our customers and passing on the benefit of lower cost of borrowing when feasible, as informed earlier, we had already reduced the Aavas Financiers prime lending rate by 10 basis points with effect from 1st January 2021. We have decided to further reduce the Aavas Financiers Limited prime lending rate by 15 basis points with effect from 1st of April 2021. Unfortunately, just as the broader economy was showing good signs of revival, COVID re-emerged and spread at a very fast pace since the start of April 2021 across the country. This has resulted in localized lockdowns of varying degree being reimposed by various state governments to contain the spread of the infection. We continue to comply by the guidelines being issued from time to time by the central and state governments. The widespread disruption to social and economic activities caused by the first wave of COVID in FY21 has been a learning experience for us in Aavas. We had already been working on technology front cybersecurity for the last one and a half, 2 years. Along with that, for the last 1 year, we have been adopting various initiatives on technology framework to improve the day-to-day working efficiencies for our staff. This has ensured a smooth work-from-home transition to our employees during the current lockdown, as well while ensuring data security and uninterrupted customer service. The resilience of our customer also got tested during the first wave, and continuous improvement in their repayment behavior during the last 6 months has reinforced our belief that while there can be delays, the ultimate losses will be negligible. As we mentioned in previous calls, that we were able to interact with our entire customer base multiple times before, during, and after the moratorium period to understand how they were responding to the crisis. All the knowledge that we gained from these interactions has been included in our analytics framework. We think this will further help to strengthen our underwriting practices and predict the customer behavior in the period ahead. Having successfully navigated the first COVID wave in FY21, we are confident that our response would be even better this time around, and we would be able to tide over the second COVID wave as well based on the learning of last year. I would now hand over the line to Ghanshyam ji to discuss various business parameters in details.
Thank you, Sushil ji. Good morning, everyone, and warm welcome to our earnings call. During the quarter, the company borrowed an incremental amount of rupees 7,290 million at a 6.31% for 119th average tenor. As of March 21, our cost of borrowing stood at 7.40 on an outstanding amount of rupees 82,740 million rupees with an average maturity of 130 months. Our long-term credit rating continued to be AA- minus with a stable outlook from both ICRA and CARE. Despite the highest short-term rating of A1+, we continue to maintain zero exposure to commercial paper as a prudent borrowing practice. During the year, company received a total tax refund of rupees 227.3 million, including interest of rupees 16.1 million for past few years. The provision of taxation for Q1 as well as FY21 has been computed after considering the impact of tax assessment and the refund. IGAAP to Ind AS reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit and the net worth on slide number 31 and 33 of our presentation. Few important key parameters. As on 31st March 2021, total number of live accounts stood at 1,25,591. That is approximately 20% year-on-year growth. Total number of branches was 280. We added 30 new branches in last 12 months. Employee count of 4,336 versus 3,564 as against March 20. It shows around 22% growth in this year. Assets under management grew at 21% year-on-year. Presently, 94,543 million rupees as on March 31st, 2021. Major breakup, product-wise breakup, home loans are 73.5%, other mortgage loan 26.5%. Occupation-wise, salaried 39.6%, self-employed 60.4%. During the year, disbursement decreased by 9% year-on-year to rupees 26,569 million for FY21. But significant momentum was gained in Q4 FY21 with the disbursement increasing by 17% year-on-year, 32% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 10,127 million. Further, as on March 31st, 2021, average borrowing cost 7.40 against our average portfolio yield of 13.16% resulted in a spread of 5.76%. Borrowing, we are access to diversified and cost-effective long-term borrowing, financing from various sources, strong relationship with our development finance institutions and all large private and public sector banks in India. Overall borrowing mix as on 31st March 2021 is 34.1% as a term loan from banks, 24.2% from assignment and securitization, 22.6% from National Housing Bank, and 19% from the other debt capital markets. Provisioning. Total COVID provisions 19 provisions stood at 190.3 million as on March 31st, 2021. The ECL provision, including COVID-19 provision, stood at 495.8 million as on March 31st, 2021. Assets quality, one day past due stood at 6.37%, gross stage 3 stood at 0.98%, net stage 3 stood at 0.71% as on March 31st. Product-wise gross stage 3, home loan 1%, other mortgage loan 0.9%. Liquidity, we have liquidity of rupees 28,360 million as on March 31st, 2021. It comprises of cash and cash equivalent 11,140 million, unavailed cash credit limit 1,320 million, documented unavailed sanction from National Housing Bank 6,550 million, documented unavailed sanction from other banks 9,350 million rupees. Profitability, PAT increased by 17% year on year, 2,903 million for FY21 as per Ind AS accounting. As per IGAAP, PAT registered year on year growth 34%, 3,078 million rupees for FY21. ROA 3.5%, ROE 12.9% for FY21. ROA was 3.9 and ROE was 15% for quarter 4 FY21. As on March 31st, 2021, we are very well capitalized with a net worth of 24,014 million. Book value per share stood at 305.9 rupees. With this, I open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning and thanks for taking my question. Sri, what I wanted to congratulate you. I think our disbursements in the fourth quarter has actually hit a historical high, and I think this is the first time we have crossed 1,000 crores in disbursements. So congratulations to you and the team for that. And my question was more around the fact that while the disbursements were very, very good, at the same time, the runoff in the book was also very high. If you look at the quarterly runoff or the loan repayment as a percentage of the opening AUM, despite our secret recipe of retaining customers who come for balance transfers. So, I mean, is there more pressure from HFCs, larger HFCs and state banks, because of which you saw this kind of a loan book runoff during the quarter, and because of which the AUM growth that came was also slightly lower than expectations?
Good morning, Abhijit. Overall, book rundown is as per budget and slightly lower than the budget, but yes, because of price reduction from the mainstream banker, we have budgeted that way, and prepayment was almost in line what we have discussed. Yes, because of COVID, the analytics model which we have developed over a period of past years, we have not utilized that way, and going forward, if the situation will remain good, we will again come back to our model. But I think more or less prepayments are in line what we have budgeted, and there is no extraordinary big out which we have seen.
Okay, sure. So the other question that I had is, given that we kind of all know that, even though you have reported disbursements of about 1,000 crores in the quarter, you would not have really compromised on any of your underwriting. So, while Q4 has always traditionally been one of your strongest quarters seasonally, would it be fair to conclude that, during the last pandemic year, we have built up capabilities so that going forward, our quarterly disbursement run rate can now, let's say, improve to about 800 to 900 crores quarterly run rate?
Yeah, Abhijit, so we at Aavas continuously work on our distribution model and increase the capacity of our business for next two to three years in sight. If you see last year also, despite COVID, we have opened 30 new branches and also increased our frontline sales team also. If you see, number of employees increased by 1,000 employees. So now we have capacity of delivering almost 400 crore rupees per month, but we want to be consistent and we will be conservative on our underwriting practices. And if the opportunity will be there, yes, we have sufficient capacity which can serve for next one or two years in line. So we have built up the capacity on that line.
Sure. And so my last question is on your taxation. Were there any one-offs during the quarter because of which the blended tax rate is looking lower? And also along, I mean, provisions, you have not taken any additional provisions during the quarter. So will it be fair to kind of conclude at this point in time that whatever over provisions we are holding right now will hold us good even if there are any contingencies from the second COVID wave?
Yeah. So taxation point of view, Ghanshyam ji will explain, and then I will explain the provisioning part.
Abhijit, taxation, we got, I think we mentioned in our presentation also, as well as the result declared, we got a tax refund of 20 crore rupees, and a few amount is on account of interest on that amount. It pertains to financial year 17-18 or 18-19. So that accordingly, the current year tax got recomputed in quarter four for the full year, as well as the tax refund also got accounted in this quarter. That's why you see in the quarter four, taxation piece is lesser than what we have seen earlier three quarters.
Right, sir. So, Ghanshyam ji, I mean, if I understood you right, I mean, the disclosures that we have given around income tax refunds during the quarter, they get accounted for or they get adjusted in the tax line item.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
And
So accordingly, next full this year taxation also got recomputed based on the assessment order.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification.
And Abhijit, on provisioning side, as a lender, we do assess our asset quality and relevant provisioning quarter-on-quarter basis. And we also further take inputs from our analytics model, if any stress is looking like on the balance sheet from next 6 to 9 months perspective. As you see, our one-day past due has improved from 8%+ to now 6.37%. And our NPA numbers are almost in line, further not has aggravated. We have already had 19 crore rupees of COVID provision, which we have not utilized and has kept as an additional provisioning in the balance sheet, which we have not used. And since last two quarters, we are any account which is stage three, we are provisioning additional amount as a normal NPA on that. So looking all those measures, we are confident that as of March 31st, 2021, for this quarter, we need not any additional provisioning at this point of time. And looking at the current situation also, for next one, two quarter, we don't see any stress on the balance sheet. But as a prudent practice, we management will continue to assess the situation. And if required, we will do provision because balance sheet and profitability is very strong. So there is no issues on that side.
Sure, Sushil ji. Just one last question, if I may just squeeze in. Based on whatever collections that you would have seen in the month of April, would it be fair to conclude that your 1+ DPD might deteriorate a little bit in the current quarter before we go back to our guided levels of less than 5% 1+ DPD?
Yeah. So Abhijit, first, that 5%, we have said that it will take two to three quarters after December quarter earning, and we have improved by 2% this quarter. But looking at the current lockdowns and different states have different kind of lockdown scenario. So yes, our one day past due can again be increase by some percentages. The final number will come today evening. Now one comfort which we have is that all these customers' behavior, their resilience to market situation, their property papers, customer, the market, and how 6 month lockdown has impacted their cash flows and how they have bounced back. All these data account by case wise we have put into analytics model, and which has strengthened our firm belief that our customer has strong resilience, and if this COVID-2 situation, I hope it will not worse than the Q first, and it will not last long, maybe of the last period. So the customer behavior will be much better in next 2 to 3 quarters and bounce back. But still, we will keep on harnessing our analytics model, and if we will see something, we will update the entire investors.
Thank you so much for patiently answering all my questions. I wish you and the team the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Parekh from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So what has been your collection efficiency for this quarter? Last quarter you had mentioned it was close to 99%. Also the write-offs for this quarter?
So Tejas, collection efficiency is almost more than 100% because OnePlus has improved from 8.5% to 6.37, so almost 2% improvement on OnePlus. So collection efficiency is almost more than 100% for this quarter. Write-off number, give us some time. We will we'll come back to you.
Yeah. In this quarter, we didn't have any significant write-off. Full year basis, if you see, full year basis in FY21, we have a 2.84 crore is total write-off.
Against last year, 3.88.
Against the last year, 3.88 crore rupees. I'm talking full FY21.
Okay, you said 2.84 crores, right?
Yeah, full year. Full year.
Against last year, full year, 3.88.
Okay, thanks. So the other question is on your yields. So on quarter-on-quarter basis, this time around we have seen yields declining by close to 25 bits. Can you throw some light on that?
AUM yield?
Yes.
Yeah. So, this has 2-3 points. One, we have reduced our PLR by 10 basis points, which we have already told. Second, in our lending rate, the salary proportion has increased, so that has impact of 10 to 15 basis points. A duration of 25 basis points. But despite that, you see our borrowing cost has significantly come down. Still, our spread is, we are maintaining 5.76%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Chilappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Two questions from my side. Firstly, what is the difference in the yield between your salary portion and your self-employed portion? And given the increase in cases, especially in the second wave, what are the segments or geographies that you are at the margin more cautious on?
So, Karthik, salaried yield is 12.24 and self-employed yield is 13.75.
Okay, and sir, given the caseloads in the second wave, what are the segments or geographies that you are more cautious on?
No, so Karthik, as I told you last time also, we have said that we have around 40-50 profiles where we fund in our portfolio, and none of the profiles are more than a significant percentage in our portfolio. So we are taking the same approach which we have taken in the last time, and we are still seeing that because most of the segments, the lockdown is only 15 days, but nothing is specific, any state or any geography. Wherever we are getting opportunity to open our branches and business operations, we are working, but right now main focus is on safety of the employees and the customer base which we have, and we will continue to adopt the same underwriting practices which we have improved and put our learnings of last year in COVID. So we continue to adopt the same for this year also.
Got it. Sir, as far as disbursements are concerned, I noticed that it is the home loan disbursements which are actually growing much faster, and we have been kind of going slow on the other mortgage loans. But if I look at the ticket sizes and disbursements for other mortgage loans, they have risen sharply year on year. Now we are at about 7,10,000. A year back in the fourth quarter of last year, it was 6,10,000. Given that we are cautious on the other mortgage loans, why is the ticket size rising so much?
Yeah, Karthik, so other loan comprises of three segments. One is MSME loan, second is mortgage loan, and third is top-up loans. So top-up loan normally is from the range of 2 to 5 lakhs. Last year, because of the COVID scenario, as a management, we have taken a cautious call not to leverage our existing customers more. So that segment has reduced. So for mortgage and LAP customers, overall, overall ticket size is same. Because of we have not done more top-up cases, so this number is looking like this.
Okay, got it. And my last question, sir, is in this presentation, I noticed that there has been another new addition to the management team, which is the Chief Technological Officer. Given that we have already been investing a lot in analytics, etc., could you talk about what is the mandate of this role and how we what kind of changes we should expect either on your costs or your underwriting or your loan segments going forward?
So Karthik, we continue to evaluate our management team and leadership team from the next 8 to 10 years perspective, and wherever we see that we need to strengthen our leadership team, we do that. As you know, we always emphasize technology as a key driver for our next decade journey from three perspectives, making us more agile for competition, reducing our OPEX to make us more competitive, and third is saving us from the survival risk, because technology we see as will be the key driver for our next 10 years growth and survival. So that's where, our CTO left last year, so we run the process and we have hired a new CTO. Technically speaking, on technology side, we have now the vision that all our technology and processes should be readily available for us, which can help us seeing through our next 10 years journey and scalability of the operations to that extent that technology will be key driver of all the businesses, excellence, efficiency, and it should not be a hindrance for our next 10 years growth perspective.
Got it. This is very clear, sir. Thank you very much and wish the team all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Kariwala from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, Udit.
Yeah. I had two questions. First is, for the direct assignment transactions which you do, what is the discounting rate which is used because the income is upfronted? So is it the average rate of the pool, or is it the cost of funds for the company, or is it any other rate which is used as a discounting rate for from the accounting point of view when you report your direct assignment income? That's first question. And the second question is, can you give some color around the ECLGS scheme and what number in terms of count and what is the absolute exposure on that front?
Yeah, first question on the direct assignment. We do direct assignments for the last couple of years. And when we do direct assignment, we obviously rightly mention it's a true sale. So obviously upfront profit get booked in the quarter or in the year. We discount the future cash flow at a post yield. Like in this quarter, we have done 160 crore rupees assignment. Full yield was 15.5%. This pool got assigned at 7.5%. So our effective excess interest spread was 7.5% and above. And then we take not a contractual period of a cash flow. We take a behavioral cash flow of that. So generally we take 6 years is a behavioral life of a pool when we sell the pool. So it gets further compressed 6 years, then get NPV based on the pool yield.
So over here, in the example, sir, which you gave, what would be the discounting rate? Would it be 15% or that 7% number which you're talking about?
15%.
15%, 15.6 which you mentioned.
Yeah, 15.5%, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And on the ECLGS?
Second question, ECLG, we have didn't have a...
In ECLGS scheme, we have got ourselves registered after instructions from the regulator in the February end types, and have maybe 10 to 15 cases out of 1,25,000 live cases where we have given ECLGS. It is amount not even total amount is 54 lakh rupees.
Okay.
Very insignificant number.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Goriva from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, I missed the employee number. Can you just help me with the employee number for the quarter?
We have given 4336.
Correct. So that's roughly around 800 employees which are added this quarter. So I have two bits on that. Firstly, what is the operations we have added these employees? Is it collections, underwriting? Can you give some more color on that? First question. And second question, sir, such a strong addition of employees. How do you expect the operating leverage to play out in the next couple of years? Can you provide some thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we have added frontline staff in sales and collections and underwriting thing. We have added, as you know, we have added around 30 branches last year, out of which around 15 branches was in last quarter. So anyway, normal branches. And we have added some more employees in collection side because we think that there we can do a significant improvement still. In our collection strength. Same way on the underwriting side, field staff we have increased around by 50 to 80 people. So all put together, and this capacity enhancement we have done from this year's perspective. So this year, apart from new branches which we will open, we will not require any further manpower addition. Hope I have answered.
Sure, sir. And how do you look at the OPEX to AUM?
We have continuous guidance that every year we can improve our OPEX to AUM by 30 to 35 basis points. Last year also, despite the difficult situation, we have improved it by 37 basis points. Prior to that, we have improved it by around 60 basis points. So going forward also next 2 to 3 years, we can improve our OPEX to AUM by 25 to 30 basis points depending on the environment.
Sure. And so just last question, what is the 1+ DPD for Maharashtra?
10.3%.
Sure, perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran Engineer from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on the quarter and hope you're all safe. I have a few questions. First thing was a clarification on someone else's question on why yields fell sharply. Now, by my calculation, yields are down about 100 odd bits from third quarter to fourth quarter. So was there some interest reversal impact as you have to refund interest on interest or something like that? Were there one off? Because we've reduced lending rates by only 10 bits and our share of salary customers is stable QOQ. So why exactly, you know, have our yields dropped so much?
If you see, let me first clarify how we disclose our yield and cost of borrowing quarter after quarter. What yield you see in our presentation, it is a month, quarter end, sum of a product of my all the loan contract outstanding. So I mean it on the 1st day of April at 13.16, I'm earning interest on that assets. Okay, you see in last quarter, we have seen 20 basis point reduction in my yield. So she is already action, 10 basis point got reduced because of we reduced the PLR in the beginning. That was seen. Similarly, cost of borrowing, we declare in the similar fashion. What is my contractual rate on my all the borrowing liability on the quarter end? Means on the first day of a quarter, what rate I will pay to the bank institution, that rate. So this year we maintaining continuously our disclosure in the same fashion every way. You are might be more talking your own computed yield which you are computing. It may be impact as you mentioned in our earlier call that there is a we have Sushilji, I think mentioned earlier. I told Malia Anshir that there is a what we do assignment earlier. That assignment got a reversal in the coming quarter. So certain impact is there on that account. This time we reduce our 10 basis point beginning of a quarter, though which has a full quarter impact on the overall interest and income. Apart from that, on the prudent basis, we have done accounting prudent on by not accounting interest income on the stage 3 assets from this quarter. So this means whatever income we have booked on account of stage 3 assets on NP assets, which got reversed in this quarter. So on a prudent and let's say conservative accounting policy, we adopted in this quarter, which has an impact. Which has an impact then on a top line of interest income.
Got it. So 13.16 is the starting rate for the year, and then we cut it by 15 bits. So assuming no further changes to interest rate, we'll earn 13%.
Yeah, it may be. It will have a reduction on the floating rate basis. Fixed rate will not give you reduce, but overall, it will be have an impact of 10 basis point in the beginning.
Okay, got it. Sir, my next question is on your borrowing. Now, you mentioned that we borrowed, I think, 700 odd crores at 6.3%. You know, who are these people who are giving us such attractive rates? And even our assignment of loans, when someone buys 160 crores of loans at 15.5%, I'm guessing these are LAP loans. Why are they buying it so cheap at 7%? Wouldn't banks want to negotiate with you and take your best performing loans, which are at 10-11%? Rather than these risky loans, because in the end the banks will bear the risk in a direct assignment. So I'm trying to understand why someone would buy these expensive loans. And even those 10-11% loans will qualify for PSL. So
I think first let me clarify this thing. Doesn't mean interest rate is 1 or 2% is higher than the peer group. It doesn't mean that portfolio quality is weak. I think this is a myth in the market, which I think Aavas has proved in last 10 years of a performance. So I think we differ on that interpretation of AUM book. We are a purely retail mortgage-backed book we booked either in the home loan as well as in the by LAP or MSME book. MSME and LAP could also secured by retail residential mortgage property with the LTV of around 50%. So that is also a very good property. We charge extra rate because of we believe in the risk adjusted pricing metrics. We don't believe in a one homogeneous product. We believe in the sector and geography specific rates. We design our system accordingly. We built slightly better margins on the asset side. Secondly, raise questions on a very competitive rate we borrow. I think that is a strength of Aavas and treasury team. We go and speak, I think present company's case very well in the market. We have tied up a lot of DFIs like IFC, CDC, ADB. From there, we get a lot of funding from them. We become first in the queue with the NHB for any sort of special program government approved and NHB start to disburse. So we also take a lot of funding from them. Then banks, we take a very good funding. We generally pay MCLR plus 25 basis point, 30 basis point spread on the MCLR. So we'll be able to negotiate and mix basket, be able to raise a good fund from the banks in institutions.
And again, sir, everything depends on the your past track record and the history which you create. We are not doing assignment from last 1 and 2 years. Now we have history of last 8 years with more than 50 pools of assignment transactions with us. So we have a credit history with the financial institutions which continuously work with us. And depending on the performance of our pool, because say every pricing is done based on risk criteria, past track record, and I think accordingly financial institutions take the right judgment of pricing any specific portfolio. So I think you will give us that credit that based on last 8 years past track record, we have created that good credit history with the financial institution on the basis of which they behave and give a very competitive pricing for our loans.
Yes, sir. There's no doubt on that. But in this quarter, this 6.3% rate, we got it from DFIs like IFC and all, or from domestic institutions?
There is a huge list of borrowing which we have done. I think it is not appropriate to disclose name and a lender institution. There are a huge list of borrowing. We have a today relationship with almost 32 lenders with us basically.
Okay. Sir, after a long time, we've opened branches in Rajasthan, I think 7 or 8 branches. So what is our thought process? Have we expanded into new locations which were earlier untapped, or have we just split one large branch into two because the demand was so strong?
So we have a very consistent practice of branch opening. It has two parts. One is contiguous growth areas and market where we work. Then we have cover 50 kilometers. Then we create portfolio of next 2-3 years. When we get the confidence, we have further move ahead in direction. So Rajasthan branches are a part of a strategy of our contiguous growth. And second is we do on the analytics base and wherever the low penetration of housing. So whenever we open the branch every year, we do take a summary of these two approaches and accordingly we open the branches, but this practice is consistent. So every 5 years we open 3 or 4 new states. We go to new geography also and existing geography contiguous distribution approach basis we open the branches. So now we have 10 years and we have almost 9 or 10 state penetration. So next 5 years we will open another 4 new states where we will have branches, and as per our metrics 30 to 40 branches every year. So after which around 40-50% branches will be in new states and 60% branches will be in existing states on a contiguous distribution basis.
Got it. That was helpful. So just one last question. I'm just curious to know, why are we not rated by CRISIL?
It's I think not anything of answer why we are noted, what not noted. I think we already have the two rating agencies are with us, CARE and ICRA, and both are, I think, work a lot towards affordable housing piece. So I think they have quite a good amount of experience in that. We have an India rating also. They do us a rating for short-term papers since last, I think, last 6-7 years continuously.
Got it, got it. That's helpful. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavesh Kanani from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, gentlemen. My question again pertains to the interest income. I do realize that you have tried to answer that partly. But when I look at the loan outstanding, we see an increase of 7% sequentially, whereas interest income has gone down by about 10-11 crores. And if you were to keep the yields calculated or computed yield stable, the income would have ideally been around 262 crores interest income. So, you know, the versus broad expectations, the income is down by about 15-16 crores. Can you help us understand, one, you have mentioned the reason, but you, if you can also quantify, let's say, interest income reversal impact in terms of numbers, rate cut, and the other components, if you may. Second question was on our assignment or derecognized assets. When we look at the income derived from assignment activities in context of loans assigned, the implied margin that we get has been pretty volatile if I look at last 8 quarters. So I would request your help in understanding that. And in the last quarter, you had mentioned something to the effect that even for the past assignment deals, when MCLR comes down or the discount rate is lowered, you derive benefit or income out of that. Does that mean going forward, when the rate cycle reverses, we'll see a negative impact on the past assignment deal? These are my questions.
I think I take one by one questions. First is the interest income. Second one is the assignment. Third one is, I think, we need more clarity from your side. But let me first answer the two questions. I think already addressed this first question. Let me further clarify a few more with the data point of the first question. As I mentioned, as Sushil also mentioned, in this quarter, first day itself, we have reduced our PLR by 10 basis points. If you see last quarter to this quarter, overall yield has been reduced by 20 basis points, and last quarter it got reduced by 10 basis points. So this slightly more reduction of yield, keeping in the view of a market trend, and as well as my cost of borrowing is showing a better reduction in that portfolio. So that similar result came in the yield side also. It has an impact of around 4 to 5 crore rupees if we compare last quarter to this quarter result. This has a result of around 3 crore rupees in overall on that basis. As I mentioned, one more thing, we do assignments, then assignment get increased, then this assignment get restated in every quarter. So this quarter, if we compare with the last quarter, there is around 4 crore rupees is impact at a top line. Because if we see consistently, whatever we do new assignment, we show as a separate line item in our result published. Because this is on account of new assignment transaction. But what old assignment transaction get restated every quarter, it got shown in the top line basically. Because interest income also comes there, as well as whatever we book upfronting profit that get updated in the first line itself basically. That's a simple accounting practice which we have, I think, disclosed earlier, maintaining continuously that simply. Third important thing I mentioned, income reversal. I mentioned that because of conservative and let's say prudent accounting system, we stopped to recognize interest income on the NPA assets, on the stage 3 assets, which we keep on doing before Ind AS accounting systems. So we have gone back to our old prudent accounting system basically. So that on that account, it was reduced in this quarter around 10 crore rupees. So if you put together all three, four items, roughly our impact is in the range of 16, 17 crore rupees.
That answers me all the queries.
That's put together. Second question you mentioned, the assignment piece, different volatile. So it depends upon that what pool has been sold in which month basically. Like if we sold a pool of LAP, category of a pool where yield is around 15% upward, pool gets sold around 7.5% and 7.75%. So it was a higher interest spread is there. It gives a higher profit in that quarter. In the some quarter, if a pure home loan pool gets sold to the banks and institutions, so their yield is less. So that in that pool, sometime my interest spread is roughly between 3 to 4%. Here my spread is between 6.5 between 7.5%. That show actual profitability may differ. Actual profitability may also differ on account of volume also. What volume we have sold in that quarter. So we maintain the every quarter we show you the how much quantity we have sold in that category. So roughly, we are maintaining around 600 crore rupees pool sold every year in last 3 years. Similar, maybe 50 crore rupees here and there, but the generally trend is like that. You can see 538 crore rupees in the FY18, then 19, 680 crore, 664 crore. This year we sold 550 crore rupees.
Got it, sir. That's helpful. Just one further clarification, you know. We have been prudent on almost all fronts, whether it is underwriting, provisioning and whatnot. Why not also recognize the derecognition asset-related income also on amortized basis? Because as an outsider, it's extremely difficult to get a hang on quarterly numbers given the variance they show. You know, in Q3 we saw 40 crores. In Q1 it was zero, so it becomes a little difficult.
I agree with you. I strongly believe in this thing, ki, income of when do assignment transactions, we should not book income. RBI brought a guideline 2012. We everybody following the same guideline. When then we Ind AS on HFC and NBFC has moved on Ind AS accounting. Ind AS accounting says you have to book this income as upfront basis because this is a true sale transaction. Pool has gone out, risk has gone out, so you have to book upfront profit. There is always a challenge. Aap discounting kispe karenge? So somebody adopt discounting at a G-Sec rate, somebody adopt discounting at a cost of borrowing, somebody adopted conservatively at a pool yield basically, where we are basically discounted a pool yield basically. I think personally represented this matter to I think RBI in some time long back in one of the forum. Recently, I think again somebody has raised this issue to the RBI. So you give the directions not to book upfronting profit.
But Bhavik, you will appreciate that as you mentioned, we publish both and we give the bridge also of both the numbers, where it is not upfronting and where it is upfronting.
Yes, correct.
Quarter on quarter or year on year, we are giving both the numbers. IGAP number where we don't recognize. So. Net worth also and income also and that also we do everything.
That's correct, sir. That's helpful, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sushilji, I had exactly the same questions to ask what Bhavesh just now asked. But just to add a point to that assignment income, if there is an impact of the past reassignments on the current period, I think it can be shown as a line item separately in each quarter, you know. And secondly, as is correctly discussed, taking assignment income as an upfront full income is a bit of an incorrect thing to do. So, irrespective of anything, why can't we show what is the profit belonging to the current quarter and what are the future profits book is a disclosure, so that these two line items stated on a quarter by quarter will give a true indication of the real profit.
Yeah, sir, we agree with your point. First of all, we agree that accounting should be done on conservative basis. That's where at Aavas we publish both IGAAP and Ind AS number. In IGAAP, anyway, you know, it's not a fronting. And we give the bridge of both the two accounts every quarter. Slide number 31, whatever you are asking, we exactly do the same. We give line by line difference. I get this up is not profit. This quarter can the assignment transaction say it's not profit or as my negative. Maybe you can see. And if you have further suggestion, we are ready to incorporate that.
Sure. Thank you, Sushilji. I'm going through the presentation.
Slide number 31, that reconciliation, where we give exactly what you have asked for us. So every quarter since listing, we are giving this number.
No, thank you. I'll go through that. This time I miss going to the presentation.
Sir, as a management, we are always ready to improve our disclosure. So if you have any suggestion, we are ready to take it.
No, I think this is about all exactly those two questions. I think whenever there is unusual movement like third quarter to fourth quarter with the disbursements growing sharply, asset book growing nicely, and the drop in interest income was not easily understandable why it has happened. So when there is an obvious something which is not easily comprehensible, if a self-explanatory note is there, they will just make it things easier, you know. Otherwise, it leaves people guesswork.
So, sir, in our press release also, we have given one statement there. But on this call, anyway, we have explained line-by-line numbers difference. Going forward, if there is anything of this, we will further improve in our investor presentation.
No, thank you so much. Sushilji always has been very transparent and these are just minor additional points.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello. Okay. Two or three point questions. So first is, I wanted to understand what will be the incremental contribution of the new states to your incremental disbursements or to the incremental book. Because the top four states still continue to remain high, and my understanding is that probably at the SSI level penetration that the number you show, probably in the top two states remains a little low from here on. Just trying to get a sense of how the new states are contributing.
Yeah. So, depending on what happens, whenever we open a new branch and new states, anyway, we keep conservative approach for first 30 months to 36 months because we need to understand cash flows, geographies, income patterns, your delinquency patterns. So in the new states and new branches, we go very slow. But any branch which opened before 2 years or 3 years adds to our distribution strength. Right now we have 280 branches, out of which around 100 branches are in new states and 180 branches are in old states. So this last 4 years, whatever 100 branches we have opened, this will add to our disbursement numbers for next 3 to 4 years. Same way, in this next 3-4 years, we will open another 100 branches, which will be feeder for growth of us in next maybe 2023-2024 onwards. So same way, we continue to build our distribution strength for future 3 to 5 years term perspective.
Okay. Just one more question. So you mentioned that currently our capacity of delivering around 400 crores of disbursements per month, broadly. Now, assuming you were to grow at 20% AUM run rate for the next few years, when let the repayment rates remain where they are, you'd probably be looking at around 5,500 crore of disbursements per year, broad. So that is around, the run rate that the capacity you have is probably 10 to 20% lower than what you will probably have to deliver by FY 2023-24. So is it safe to assume that you'll probably be adding around 10 to 20% more sales people over the next few years?
So Tipanil, I think I have not understood your calculation, but for the thing which we say 20 to 25% growth is what we are looking for next 3 to 5 years term. For that, on the business side, we keep a bench strength of around 30 to 40% more. If competition will come, if adverse situation will come, still we will be able to perform. If adverse situation or competition will be less, we might overperform. And at the same time, higher capacity helps us picking and choosing, keeping our underwriting intact, and that helps us in maintaining our asset quality and portfolio.
Okay, I get that. And just a dedicated question, can you give your NPL numbers and 1+ numbers for self-employed and salary?
NPL? Yeah, just give me 1 minute.
Sure.
So, HL 1%, non-housing 1.9%, salary 0.44%, LCNP 1.3%.
So, you can just repeat that I missed it.
Home loan 1%, non-home loan 0.9%, salary 0.44%, self-employed 1.3%.
Okay, and can you also give the salary self-employed number for the 1+ DPD?
1+. Right now we don't have that number. But I think there will not be much of the difference on that side.
No problem. Fine. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Tijoriwala from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, I just had one question related to the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana scheme, specifically the CLSS scheme which has expired on March 31st, 2021, and I understand the LIG-EWS scheme has a date for March 31st, 2022. So wanted to understand how it affects your growth rates in the past and how it will affect in the future as well.
Manan, I don't think so much of the impact on the side because as we told, as per our management practice, we don't fund any lending which is dependent on government subsidies or government incentives. We do assess each case on individual merit basis and accordingly we bid. But if the customer can get the benefit in the government guideline, we help him getting that credit. But our business sourcing and disbursements and our marketing is not dependent on government subsidies and incentives.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Maheshwari from Ambit Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope all well at your end, sir. So just one question, sir, on basically two questions. One, looking at the peers, how they in the sourcing pattern use the connectors to tap the new geography or new state. What is your process of entering into the new states as you are already there in approximately 9 states? So any process where you can say that what time period you give for any state or what is the benchmark which you are using because it varies from state to state. So any parameter which you would be using. And second question, sir, I know it's very difficult in such time to even for me to ask the outlook. But if the situation remains steady state or status quo as of April, no doubt you have tightened your lending in terms of higher rejection rate, but keeping this as a steady state, can we say that incrementally you can gain the market share because the situation will be becoming bad for the other players and incrementally it can be good where you have the capital appetite to solve?
Yeah, So Rahul, when we enter into the new markets, first we have the analytics which gives us input about the geography, population, number of household, income levels. As of today, what is the portfolio, how it is behaving, 1+, 90+. Then we have local teams which we have. And as a student practice, first we have a risk team, then we have the business team. Third principle which we adopt in new markets, we tell that first 3 years, there is no business targets. We will do whatever is as per our DNA. There is no pressure on the business team. Because it takes us 2 to 3 years to understand cash flow patterns, income, seasonability, asset behavior, judiciary behavior. And once we get confidence, then we expand in those markets and improve our business numbers in those markets. So we are practicing this from last 9 and 10 years, and you can see the results. Last 5 years, 4 states we have opened, and the asset quality is much better and in line with our expectation. So we will continue to practice the same behavior in the new states when we go.
Sir, just to follow up on this, sir, in the current states where you are there, leaving apart the 4 states which have recently entered in last 4 years, how much more capacity addition you can think is available for you? I mean, for a particular district, just to give an example, a particular district, your on-field force might be equivalent to what HDFC or LIC Housing would be gaining the files or the sanctions. So is there any further increment or capacity addition you think is available, or you are reached to where you thought of as a, in the blueprint?
No. So, Rahul, we don't think that way. First of all the locations where we are, it doesn't mean that if we have reached to some scale, that is the status stays or plateau. We take a 15-year approach when we open the branch, and we go by statistics and analytics data. So I will give you an example. Like if a city has 4 lakh population, mostly 85% of branches are there where housing loan penetration in the district as real is less than 5%, and 1-day past due, 90-day past due is very reasonable. So 4 lakh population divided by 4, you have 50,000 households, 50,000 family away. So we take that in next 10 years or 15 years, we will try to touch base or incorporate 5% households for the income. So from that perspective, even for next 15 years, that city's penetration level will not go beyond maybe 10 or 20%. So from that perspective, we take a longer view for any branch we open. And I will give a rough estimate, even from the existing branches of first 5 years where we opened around, which are 180, we can disburse around 50,000-60,000 crore rupees in next 10 years term from those branches.
Okay, that's quite helpful. And sir, on the outlook on rejections, what is the rejection rate that has increased? Looking at what it was in Jan and today in April, if we keep such rejection rate, definitely the quality of customer which is adding, that's a very high supreme quality after passing credit filter. But if it remains status quo, still confident to maintain the run rate which is happening in April month, keeping the condition of status quo of macro environment?
Rahul, so at Aavas, we believe in consistent growth, and we factor in competition, market dynamics, environment changes as a derail factors for that. So we keep a little bit higher capacity level than what we need to deliver. And in good times, that capacity gives us more leverage to pick and choose, but we don't want to have higher growth. We want to have a consistent growth in those markets. In the difficult time, that helps us maintaining the consistent growth and taking the impact of competition and market environment. So we'll continue to follow that same practice. And if the March 31st statistic factors we will see. So this year we are in a much better position to deliver 20-25% AUM growth on consistent basis.
That's thank you and best wishes, sir. Avas is known for consistency and we hope the same remains, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, Amitji.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for the opportunity and let me congratulate you on the good results. I had one question regarding your underwriting and collection strategy. I mean, one of the analysts pointed out that your write-offs was nil in the last quarter. And overall also it was pretty low. So what is the success ingredients, you know, towards this underwriting and collections? I'm sure you would be going into tier 3-4 cities and there you would be funding, you know, on assessed income and Gram Panchayat properties and all that. So how come that, you know, there has been no write-offs and your NPAs also historically have been very low? Just wanted to understand that.
Amit, it's not the outcome of one or two things. It's the outcome of overall approach and the choices which we have made in our business in over a period of last 10 years. Starting from choosing the markets where housing loan penetration is less than 5%, then 100% in-house sourcing approach, then building the four pillars of underwriting, mortgage creation, security creation risk, fraud risk, then creating a robust collection process around all the things. Then not doing the risky assets. So we don't do land loan, we don't do loan more than 1 crore rupee, we don't do builder financing, we don't do any under construction apartment. So all those risky assets in the past we have not done. It will see our individual loan customer is 99.8%, our retail portfolio. We don't have any builder exposure. Average ticket size remains almost sub 10 lakh rupees. And when we started our journey, 70% customers were new to credit, still 40% customers are new to credit. And over a period of time, with the use of technology and analytics, has helped us understanding our segment better. And we are incorporating learnings. Like I have told you, last 1 year is a good learning year for us. We have assessed almost 25,000 customers who have taken the moratorium. We have checked the properties. We have checked the assessment, how we have done. We have met the customer, again, analyze the cash flow patterns, which customers have bounced back in 1 month, which customer has the tendency to bounce back in 3 months, which customer is taking 6 months time. So all those things are further helping us standardizing our underwriting processes across branches. Earlier also the main risk for us was we were good at 50, can we be so good again at 100, when we are good at 100, can we replicate this model at 200, now we are 300, now the same challenge is can we replicate this on 1000, but technology analytics now is helping us on that side. So all this ingredient put together I think helps us. Second, we have 85% properties which are individual houses and 95% of people to whom we have funded home loan is living in that house. So all these things put together helps us creating this mix which gives us confidence of consistent performance on the growth side as well as asset quality side.
Right, sir. Thank you very much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you all. Thank you all for attending the call and patience listening of answers from our side. To summarize, while the times are very tough, but at Avas, we draw comfort from the fact that 100% of our portfolio is secured against mortgages, most of which is self-occupied residential property. Very granular in terms of customer profile. We will continue our approach of consistent and sustainable growth by providing credit facilities to unserved, underserved customers in semi-urban and rural areas. We at Aavas hope and pray that everyone and their families are safe and keeping good health. I would like to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust and support to us. Thank you so much for your time. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with Himanshu in our investor relationship team or SGA, our investor relationship advisor. They will be happy to assist you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Aavas Finances Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.